Good morning. A Monday morning, we're with Ken Lovett, the now former Albany bureau chief for the New York Daily News, although his last column's in the paper today. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Well, why don't we start with your new position? We found out about this a few weeks ago. We didn't know exactly where you were going, but explain to folks your new job.
I am going to Metropolitan Public Strategies. It's a consulting firm that has corporate, nonprofit, and political clients in New York and Florida. And I will be doing consulting on ad campaigns, on different issues, doing some PR work for clients. So it's an exciting new change.
Will you be doing any lobbying?
I will not be doing any lobbying.
Just to make that clear, and of course you've agreed for our purposes at WAMC to join us on Fridays when warranted to talk about weeks in review, the political landscape in New York, and we're going to be happy to have you starting a week from this coming Friday joining us. In the meantime, quite a career in journalism, Ken. Your thoughts maybe on some of the latest news, the Amazon deal falls apart, and maybe a little reflection on a career so far spent in journalism.
Well, I mean, as far as Amazon goes, the signs were there that Amazon was not happy with all the negative publicity it was getting. I still think there's a chance. I'm not saying a great chance, but there's a small chance it could come back. If you notice, when Amazon pulled out, they didn't say we're going to go to one of the other municipalities that was trying to get us, to lure us there, when we chose New York. So they left that door at least slightly ajar. But it looks terrible for the Senate Democrats, particularly the Deputy Majority Leader Mike Gianaris, who is really the most vocal of a critic on the state level of the project. It's an embarrassment for the governor, who this was a major economic development announcement for him. He got national attention for it, and it falls through. I haven't seen a project like this fall through since Mayor Bloomberg at the time, Mike Bloomberg, when he was mayor of New York City, tried to push for a West Side Stadium in Manhattan, a football stadium for the Jets, and that failed at the state level. It's just another economic development problem for the governor. It looks bad for the Senate Democrats. It looks bad. It sends a message for a lot of people that New York is now anti-business. And if you're the Senate Democrats, it plays right into the hands of what the Republicans have argued, that they're bad for business, even if they feel they have reasons for doing what they did.
It's kind of interesting because in the beginning we heard that Amazon had actually checked to make sure the two leaders, that's Cuomo and de Blasio, could get along before final approval for this headquarters. And now what you're seeing is basically the governor and the mayor pitted against the New York State Senate Democrats.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic, although I wouldn't say the mayor is pitted against him. The mayor, the first time he gets behind a major corporation, and of course it blows up in his face, he's usually would have been leading the charge against Amazon in the past. But once they pulled out, he really ripped Amazon for not being tough enough for New York. But the governor certainly has made it clear that there should be repercussions if this does fall through on the Senate Democrats electorally.
And what about Senator Gianaris, his district, Long Island City, is in, and he has basically gone after Amazon on this, saying they didn't negotiate properly.
He had an Ocasio-Cortez problem, is what Gianaris had, and that is that Gianaris was never a Democratic Socialist. He was never that progressive. He was more of a moderate Democrat. But once Joe Crowley, the longtime congressman, was defeated by Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, then I think you saw him immediately pivot for his own political, for his own local politics, and became the face of the opposition of Amazon. It's not good for him. And, for him to say that Amazon wouldn't negotiate is a bit disingenuous, since he refused to meet with the company. He refused to serve on a community board that was designed to help put forward ideas that the community wanted to see.
Now, there was a big signing this last week, and that had to do with the Child Victims Act, something that's been going through the legislature and had stalled in the Senate when it was controlled by Republicans, which would extend the statute of limitations for child molestation victims to give them more time to sue their accusers. And, of course, this pitted the Catholic Church against the governor and many legislators who supported this plan. It's now passed. The governor signed it. And I'm already seeing ads in even some of the tabloid papers down in New York for, if you've been abused, call this law firm.
Yeah, it opened up a window, a one-year window that begins in 6 months that will allow people who, where the statute of limitations on sex abuse crimes have already expired, it'll now allow them to bring a civil lawsuit against those who abuse them and the institutions they worked for. So I think you are going to see a lot of lawsuits. You're going to see a lot of lawyers pitting it. But I got to tell you, of all the things I've covered over the 25 years at the Capitol, there's been a handful that really made a difference to people. I think when they legalized same-sex marriage, I remember being in an elevator shortly after, a couple months after, and I saw a well-dressed group of people. I said, oh, what's going on? They said, we're getting married. I said, oh, where are you from? They said, Wisconsin. I said, why are you getting married in Albany? They said, because we can't get married in our state. And I feel kind of the same way with the Child Victims Act. You know, I wrote a ton of stories on that over the last 3 or 4 years. And to see all these survivors, once it was passing, come up to me and, you know, literally some with tears, you know, thanking me. It was such an important bill for them that, you know, with all the cynicism and all the stuff we talk about, the inside political games that we talk about every week here, they still do things that matter to people. And that's important to remember, even when becoming cynical, that there's still a stuff that gets done in Albany that matters.
Well, and you have that with the Catholic Church, of course, coming out and releasing lists of priests and, you know, recording what we didn't know before, which were allegations and who these priests are. You can only imagine this has them worried about the financial viability of the church itself.
Well, that's one of the reasons they fought so hard against the bill for more than 12 years, because they were worried it could bankrupt them. And it wasn't just the Catholic Church. It was groups like the Boy Scouts of America, Orthodox Jewish groups, and the insurance companies that may have to pay out all these settlements. So there was a really strong opposition, which is why the Republicans blocked it for so many years. And to be fair, why the Democrats in the Assembly blocked it for so many years. It was only a couple of years ago, 2 years ago, that they started passing it in the Assembly, but it always died in the Senate. Once the Democrats took over the chamber, the Senate, in November, when they won control, it became clear this was going to pass. And only then did the Catholic Church really drop its opposition. Didn't support it, but drop its opposition, as long as public institutions like schools were held the same way accountable.
Well, finally, Ken, as we mark your now change in position, I want to ask you about journalism. You're leaving journalism. We've seen what's happened with print journalism and the number of jobs that are leaving, and now we're even seeing thousands leaving digital journalism. And certainly with the current president of the White House, the phrase fake news has become viral with many people. Your thoughts on the field as you leave it, and maybe offer some hint as to why you may have decided to go.
I think, look, journalism, it's in a state of flux. It has been for a lot of years now, especially if you're a print journalist like I've been for so many years. It makes it more difficult. It's certainly, there's always going to be a need for journalists. I think it'll always be around, but in what shape and form, I don't think we know that yet. You know, in the course of my career, I kind of straddled the old and new. You know, when I started in 1988 with the Watertown Daily Times, it was before we had, you know, cell phones. It was before social media, Twitter and Facebook. So and then obviously that started to control the media and it made it a 24-hour cycle. I think having a lack of resources, you've seen fewer and fewer print reporters at the Capitol, more and more digital reporters, which is a good thing, too. So it's just a time of change. And so for me, I felt this was the right time, because whereas I once felt I'd retire in the industry, I wasn't so sure anymore. And I just felt that rather than have the decision made for me and then have to scramble to find something, I was able to find something that really excited me. And you know, to make a career move this late is not something a lot of people get to do. So I'm excited about that. But, you know, there's a lot of good journalists still at the Capitol, and there'll be a lot of good work done. But it is an increasingly more challenging industry to deal with.
Yeah, and we've lost quite a library of information with Ken Lovett reporting for the Daily News. However, we'll continue to use you as we see fit. How's that, Ken, when we can call on you to tap into some of that institutional memory and help us understand some of the political goings-on in New York State?
Anytime. I mean, I've been very appreciative. You guys have been good to me, and I've enjoyed doing it.